Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, host of the program and editor of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, published since 1987, covering the inner workings and worldwide happenings of professional wrestling on a weekly basis for well over 1,500 weeks. And you can go VIP and access almost all of those issues, over 1,500 of them, when you go VIP for just $1. That's right. If you missed it yesterday, we announced a special VIP sale going on this week, and it is your chance for just $1 to go VIP, and that coupon code that you want to use when you go to pwtorch.com/govip, the coupon code that you want to use is DollarMay, DollarMay. Dollar May, and that gets you in the door for a dollar in the month of May. Although you get a full month of VIP membership just for that dollar, so you can kick the tires on all the features for the next 30 days. That's pwtorch.com/govip. When you get to the end of the sign-up form, enter in the promo code box, Dollar May, one word, no spaces, DollarMay, all one word, $9 off a one-month sub. You can also apply that $9 discount to a three-month or one-year sub if you prefer, if you want to dive right back in. You can get full details at pwtorch.com. Also, we have an alert on the main page in the news section. It's just a few articles down, and we'll keep moving it to the top here throughout the week. So check that out. We'd love to have you as a member and have you get a sample of what we do and what comes with a VIP membership. Over a dozen VIP-exclusive audio shows throughout the week, including the new WWE Future Past show, hosted by Sean Radican, debuted this Sunday. Sean Radican and longtime VIP contributor Mike Rowe discussed three wrestlers, one on the WWE roster who traveled through the indie scene, Kevin Owens, and two wrestlers still on the indie scene who may someday make it to the main roster, Jay White, who made quite an impression a week and a half ago at ROH War of the Worlds, and they also analyzed and talked about the path of Kyle O'Reilly so far. And they're going to do that on a regular basis, weekly basis, just perhaps, with the new show, taking two wrestlers who are on the indie scene, but they deem prospects, and talk about their pros and cons, their strengths, their weaknesses, what they have to do to catch Vince McMahon's eye, and how they might do on the main roster, and highlights of their career so far, so that you're ahead of the curve on who might be signed next to NXT. And then they also fill you in on the background. Sean has followed all of these wrestlers from the starts of their careers, watched so many of their matches on their path to prominence, either on the indie scene or all the way to WWE, in the case of Kevin Owens, and seen their careers and followed them closely from the beginning. And it's a good education, and it helps you stay ahead of the curve on who is next in the pipeline. That's just one of many, many, many VIP features. Check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. Coupon code DollarMay. I'm joined today to talk SmackDown with longtime 15-plus-year Torch columnist Pat McNeil. Pat, welcome back to the livecast.
Thank you, Wade. Hello, you people. It's good to be here. Yes, we are following the developing story of the Brian Kendrick-Akira Tozawa street fight that's going to take place on 205 Live.
Yes, so. We are live watching 205 Live as we host this program, and we invite you to check on in with a phone call. We can talk about tonight's episode. The phone number, if you want to give us a call, is 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. We've got a number of people on hold already, and we certainly invite you to join them. Pat, first question to you. What did you think of the debut of Shinsuke Nakamura on SmackDown? He was in the main event, teaming with AJ Styles, victorious over Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler when Nakamura hit his Kinshasa kick on Owens and scored a clean three count. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, clearly that makes him the number one contender for the WWE United States title. I mean, it was an okay match, and I thought the crowd seemed to like Nakamura, but he's not getting the rock star reaction. And they made it very clear tonight that they wanted him to get the rock star reaction by calling him a rock star about 300 times.
Yes, and what would you have done differently with Nakamura's push, Pat?
I don't know. It's tricky because, you know, the people who are interested in Nakamura, who have the network, are going to go back and maybe watch Nakamura against Sami Zayn, like the debut match from him on NXT, and are going to watch this match tonight, and they're going to be like, what happened here?
So what would you do different, though? It's a big discussion.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they have options. They could have had Nakamura win some squash matches and had him just dominate and win in dominant fashion on SmackDown against lower card wrestlers, you know, like Curt Hawkins or Jinder Mahal. Oh, wait. Oh,
sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait. You can't do that anymore.
It's May 2017, not March 2017.
Mm-hmm.
They could have him score some decisive wins over mid card and lower card guys and work, you know, just kind of work his way up and show him off. I kind of like that. It's not like they haven't tried. You know, they've put him in music videos. They made a big deal out of his pay-per-view debut. But Sunday, I thought it started to unravel a little bit. I'm still holding out hope that Nakamura is bulletproof. But on Sunday, he had a kind of a back-and-forth 15-minute match with Dolph Ziggler, who does not have a good win-loss record. And I don't think having a nice 3-plus star match is more important than establishing Nakamura is something special. But I would say, Pat, what they did tonight and Sunday, Vince McMahon thinks Nakamura's a good guy to have in the mix. And that's where he wants him,
yeah.
And that's where he's going to put him. He's certainly not a mid-carder. He's in the main event mix, but he's not a top special attraction. He's going to have to earn that and kind of pull away from the crowd through his performances and connection with the crowd. And I think Vince is going to make him earn it, even if he gets in his way a little bit along the way.
Yeah, that's definitely what's happening. But yeah, I think he would have benefited from winning some squash matches, getting people, you know, getting people into his style and his moves and his entrance. And I mean, the debut against Dolph Ziggler, I know that I wrote that, you know, Ziggler needs to look good in this match. Ziggler is a former world champion, but you know, Ziggler got the majority of the offense in that match, and that's tough that's tough to make somebody believe that you're a main event guy when you're fighting 50-50 with Dolph Ziggler.
Yes. I ran a poll on Twitter on our @PWTorch account. Follow us there if you haven't already, @PWTorch. And I asked, how do you feel about Jinder Mahal having the championship title? Got 449 votes in as I read this. 16%, Pat, are very against it. 14%, mm-hmm. 14% are somewhat against it. 35% somewhat in favor, and 35% very in favor, for a grand total of 70% thumbs up, 30% thumbs down. Are you surprised by that poll based on anecdotal reaction so far?
I am a little surprised. I think that I think, you know, people, it's not that people dislike Jinder Mahal or think he's a bad wrestler. It's just that this came from out of nowhere with him getting the push and then winning the title. He had about 6 weeks to build him up, maybe less than 6 weeks. And as somebody pointed out to me today, but I'm going to steal it, Jinder Mahal is probably the first WWE champion guy to win the WWE title without even having a T-shirt in the WWE shop.
That's a good point. I think some people think the criticism of Jinder Mahal in the top spot is for the criticism is disqualifying him from ever being a top guy. Like, oh, he's not a top guy. He can't be.
No.
I just think some of the criticism is he didn't show that he could be before he got that chance. And there is a feeling, justified, that he's getting this push because WWE wants to make inroads in the India market. And so he got kind of a head start that way, and that played into it. And also, just criticism of the booking, that there wasn't enough of a foundation built in a sports-like way that he was on a hot streak to changing people's perceptions of who he was, and that WWE just didn't tell a particularly good story in that regard. And, I mean, I don't think that's particularly deniable, is it, Pat, that they could have done a better job?
No, I mean, the analogy would be if CM Punk suddenly got a shot at the UFC welterweight title.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's very, very out of nowhere. And I think, you know, I mean, I think if it, you know, this month, if Jinder had beaten Sami Zayn on Sunday, and then he went into Money in the Bank and won Money in the Bank, and then captured the title, I think people, you know, I think people might see it coming. But yeah, I got the impression that WWE was concerned about the Indian market by the subtle references JBL kept making to it during Jinder Mahal's ceremony.
Yes, very much so. All right, well, we got a ton of people on hold, so thank you, everybody, for calling. We'll start getting to your calls momentarily here. If you want to email us, too, we might get to some emails. If you can't call into the show but you're listening live, feel free, as always, to email us either before or during the show. And that email address is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We did get an email from Greg in Michigan, who was at SmackDown. He said, couple notes. The crowd ate up Fandango and Breeze and their matches. Lots of Fandango dancing. A surprising level of heat for Jinder Mahal, more than I expected. Good sign for him. The crowd loved Nakamura, but, and I quote, still way, 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 way too much selling by him. The mystique is going away. The crowd loved the Eric Cartman reference from Kevin Owens, or aimed at Kevin Owens by Styles. It started a You Killed Kenny chant. KO is amazing to watch live. Eggs the crowd on. Perfect heel. The dark match is going to be Jinder versus Orton. That's all he's got. Love what you guys do, Greg from Michigan. Greg, thanks for sending that in. We always encourage people who are attending Raw or SmackDown to email us ahead of time or during the show. Let us know what happened. You're certainly also invited to call the show, but you can also just email us details of what happened and your thoughts, as Greg just did. We're going to go to our first break. When we come back, it's going to be calls, and we got a lot of you on hold, and we'll get to as many of you as we can in today's program. So hold tight, and we'll continue the conversation on tonight's SmackDown. Some good talking points, including the Money in the Bank announcement, which we haven't gotten to yet. Six competitors announced for that, and a big women's elimination match next week. And so we'll catch you up on that if you missed it after the break, along with phone calls. Do you shop at Amazon.com? If so, do you know there's a way for you to support the PW Torch Livecast without doing anything different other than starting your shopping at pwtorch.com/Amazon? When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, click on the Amazon link and you land at the Amazon homepage. But anything you buy on that shopping trip, we get a commission for. It's a way to throw a few extra quarters, maybe a couple bucks in the tip jar, as a way to say thanks for what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast. So next time you're about to shop at Amazon, don't type in AMAZ. Stop right there and type in pwtorch.com/Amazon. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. A free, easy way to help support what we do here at the Livecast. Thank you. And we're back. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Pat McNeil for the post-SmackDown edition of the PW Torch Livecast. We went on the air live right after SmackDown ended, but of course, the show available after the fact at pwtorchlivecast.com or on our podcast feed, which is available through iTunes, Stitcher, and all popular podcast app distribution methods on computers and smartphones. And you can always download our shows after the fact, after we go off the air. Yesterday I hosted the Raw postgame show live alone with a bunch of callers, so you can catch up on that. We not only talked Raw, but we talked a little bit about Backlash, and I think NXT came up too, the Takeover special. Sunday night, Pat, you hosted the Backlash postgame show with Greg Parks. So those are the last three shows, all available right now if you want to listen to them. Tomorrow we add to that list Travis Bryant, Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter columnist, who joined me and Todd Martin on Sunday night for the VIP Roundtable podcast immediately following Backlash, a roundtable discussion running down the entire show made available exclusively for VIP members. He will now join me also on Wednesday for the Midweek Flagship. He can also be heard every Wednesday night at eastcoastcast.com with the PW Torch East Coast Cast. So check that out if you haven't yet. It's a separate feed and a different kind of show. They talk wrestling and life and pop culture. And it is explicit, not PG. And you can check it out at eastcoastcast.com to get a link to subscribe on your smartphone or iTunes. He'll join me tomorrow. at 1 Eastern for the Midweek Flagship. That's 10 Pacific time. We're going to take your calls now. Pat McNeil, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist for 15-plus years, is with me on today's show as co-host. Let's go first to Jason in East Lansing, Michigan. Jason, thanks for calling today. Tonight, what's on your mind?
Hey, Wade. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I was actually at Raw last night, and I don't know if it just a couple minutes. I tried calling, but leaving with traffic and everything was just too much to drive and
safety first.
Hang on. So I did listen to the post show today. And so I just was going to give you a little feedback. I don't know if I didn't hear it, that anyone was at the show. And I don't know. I watched a little bit of on TV. I was sitting left of the ramp, and I had friends, you know, they could see me on TV. I was about three rows up, and the whole opposite upper level was empty. And before we even went in, they were calling for seat fillers. So it wasn't a sold out show at all, but it was an entertaining show. It was a good mix of people. In the dark match, and I apologize if I'm blanking, but I don't know if they're doing a TJ Perkins heel turn, but he did a lot of really heelish stuff. He opened in the dark segment, and I don't know what they're doing with him, but it came off really cocky, and so just kind of watch for that. Some of the highlights that I thought... I'm sorry?
Never mind, continue.
Oh, okay. Some of the other highlights of the night, my favorite, the biggest pops of the night were Miz, when he ran in, Balor for sure, and the Paul Heyman segment. The crowd really reacted to that. And then the other fun thing, I don't know if it could be heard, there was a chant going on, Roman wears a romper. I don't know if the TV picked it up, but it was awesome. It was absolutely, I mean, I was in tears laughing, and some of the fans some of the Roman fans were not appreciative of it. You could see the steam coming out of their ears. And I really, really, that is better than Cena sucks. I mean, it was the funniest chant I've heard in a long time. So I'm hoping that really sticks. That was just kind of some of the highlights that I saw from it. And then I will say this, I'm not a huge Roman fan, but after the show, the people I was with, they're not big wrestling fans. They went with me to kind of see what I'm into. And, Rain stayed after and did a couple laps and shook hands and, was actually really, appreciative and kind of what you've talked about in the past, you know, if he's going to go one direction, you know, my friends were impressed, like, wow, what a classy move. What a good guy. But he still comes off like the guy that's going to try to steal your girlfriend. If the cameras would have caught what he did after the show, it was very John Cena make a wish. And, you know, if they want him to be baby, then that's the way to go, I think. I mean, it was actually a really cool moment, but you know, that was 15 minutes after the show was over.
Interesting. I think we're all still rattled by the Roman wears a romper chant, and imagining if that catches on, how Roman's going to handle things. Like, you know, Roman says that booze don't bother him. You know, his wife still loves him when he goes home after a road trip, and you know, he's got thick skin and he can handle it. But you know, I think that's nice to say. But when you think you're the coolest guy, you know, to ever walk the planet, and you've always been kind of the leader and in the cool group, and now you're being pushed as a top star, and all these fans are rejecting you, the, you know, 20, 30 something males, you know, it rattles you a little bit. I think the romper thing could put him over the top. Pat, we might not need Vince McMahon to green light a heel turn. Roman might just snap if that chant catches on and turn heel all on his own. So, that to look forward to.
Well, that could help his merchandise sales.
Yeah, that wasn't even my first thought, Wade. And my first thought is, you know, WWE shop, Roman Reigns rompers.
Yes.
Exactly.
Well, all right. Yeah. Not quite sure where to go with this. So, excellent. Yeah, Jason, anything else you want to add, either from the Rock experience last night or if you watched SmackDown tonight?
I haven't had a chance to catch SmackDown tonight. I just got in from work. It was a long day because I took yesterday off to go to the show. I just had a lot of stuff going on. But It was a good event, and it was really fun to have kind of newbies there and see their experience. And the one last thing I'll say is one of the guys who used to watch the programming and saw it now was just blown away by Bray Wyatt and kind of the character development that he has. And that was the one that really caught his eye. So it was neat to have people that don't watch the product every day and get their input, because sometimes I'm desensitized to it, I think. So to see, some with fresh eyes, it was kind of neat to hear their take on it. So, and I agree with that. I think Bray's, he does an awesome job when they let him just do his thing.
Anything besides Bray that stood out to the newbies or the returning fans who hadn't watched regularly?
The spectacle of it, they were impressed with that. Like, holy smokes, it wasn't like this when I came here, even 15 years ago. Surprised at the Hardys and Goldust. The one guy actually said, he goes, "Hey, that's a ripoff of a character from a long time ago." I go, "You mean Goldust?"
No.
That's great.
So yeah, he doesn't watch regularly, and so that was kind of funny to just again see that perspective. It was that sort of stuff. But the biggest thing was the spectacle, the displays and the lights and the just everything, the showmanship that goes into it. And one of the guys actually recorded it so he could go back and watch to see like what happens post production.
Oh, sure.
And it is pretty interesting how they put it together. And I will say this, and I'll disagree with what some of the fans say. There wasn't the rush to the bathrooms during the purple ropes. It does seem a little bit unnecessary, but I never felt like there was filler. I didn't feel antsy in my seat. I didn't feel like, oh, this is a long commercial. I think for the crowd there, at least from my perspective, they did a really good job of keeping things entertaining, keeping things moving. And it is different, though, from, the Monday Night War era when there were signs everywhere. It was just not the same signs. And it's clear that they want it geared towards Reigns and Bayley. And the last thing, there's a ton of kids that are Enzo Amore fans, which is, he is a cartoon character. So all in all, it was a great event. And actually, I may have converted some possible new fans. So that's really all I had. Just a quick feedback on that. I thought about going to Toledo tonight because I live in Lansing, so it's not too far of a drive, but I can't take that much time off.
Yeah, okay. Well, great. Jason, I'm glad you called in. Cool observations.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you guys listening.
Excellent. That's Jason in East Lansing. Let's go to another call. Let's go to Joe in Virginia up next. Joe, thanks for holding. What's on your mind tonight after SmackDown?
Oh, hey Wade and Pat, let me mute my TV. Sorry about that. I was trying to catch up on SmackDown as I was listening to you guys, talk about things. I haven't talked to you in a little while, Wade, but I wanted to first of all throw in my support of Finn Balor, because I've been hearing a lot of what's the big deal about this guy. And I want to kind of counter that. He's awesome. So I think people should give him a chance. That was kind of my initial reason for calling in. But as I was, I DVR'd SmackDown tonight, and I was watching Jinder Mahal. And he did his speech about how, and again with the "you don't like me because of how I look" stuff, and it sort of changed why I wanted to talk to you guys.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit too much of a bleeding heart liberal here, and I'm glad Pat's on the show because he can counter this, but okay. It disappointed me a lot because I know he's going for that foreign menace heel trope, or whatever you want to call it, kind of like Nikolai Volkoff and Iron Sheik did back in the 80s. So I get that. I think for me today, it's too visceral. Like when you have the Manchester attack last night, you have these constant, and it's obviously it's different. Jinder Mahal is not. I'm not saying he's related to that. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just
right. No, we know what you're saying.
I'm kind of thinking. Yeah, I think that for WWE to even kind of even going down that road of I look different and you hate me. And there's undertones of it's my religion, it's my race. For me, that's I don't even subscribe to the WWE Network anymore. And it's not because of that necessarily, but this is just another thing. It's just like this is a reason why I don't like this company because I don't think that they're being responsible. As big as they are, and as much of the weight in the wrestling world that they carry, this is the kind of thing that bothers me. And like you've been saying, Wade, for weeks, like he doesn't need to be doing this. He could get heel heat in a legitimate, a serious way. And I just think with what's going on these days in the world, this is kind of tying himself into. A very hateful thing.
Let me jump in. Let me get Pat's thoughts on this because it is a reasonable, valid talking point. And it's pro wrestling. Nikolai Volkoff and Iron Sheik did it. I was hearkening back to being a scared 11-year-old kid when Sheik Adnan El Casey invaded the AWA and basically turned Nick Bockwinkel babyface because he was such a foreign threat, going to take the AWA title back to the Middle East with him. And I was scared for that. I mean, it was like, what's going to happen if the title gets taken in the Middle East? We'll never see it again. What will happen to my wrestling? How does this work in 2017? Having a well-educated, well-spoken, veteran wrestler in WWE from India say, you're booing me because I don't look or talk like you. Is that fair game in the context of wrestling's presentation, Pat, and how are they handling it?
Well, compared to a dozen years ago when we had Muhammad Hussein, I think they're being positively subtle about it. The foreign menace thing. All you have to do is point out, hey, Jinder Mahal's. You know, he's from Calgary. I mean, he's the nephew of Gama Singh, who was a WWF wrestler. He was trained by Bad News Brown. I mean, it's not. You know, this is. I mean, the guy probably speaks clearer English than I do. I mean, it's kind of silly to see him as an actual foreign menace. I mean, and now the part that I agree with you on is this is how WWE traditionally treats, and Vince McMahon as Booker traditionally treats minorities as cartoon characters. Pushing minorities as minorities was even big for Vince's father. Pedro Morales' identity was that he was Latino. Bruno's identity was he was Italian American, and that sort of thing. And I think it's a different world now. And maybe maybe we want to start changing with the times. I have hopes for the Hunterverse, which is Hunter running NXT and the UK and the UK show and probably whatever woman show is coming along. Just being different from the main WWE product, that I think things are better, but they could be a lot more normal.
Is this much different or any different, Pat, than what they did with Rusev? Why should people look at this any differently? Maybe they should. I'm not even sure that I've thought it through compared to Rusev, but that's a more contemporary recent example of trying to get USA chance. Is there any reason this should be looked at differently for better or for worse?
I think, and people may disagree with me on it. I think Rusev was kind of played for laughs. having Lana go out there and talk up Rusev and then spend like 60 seconds complimenting Vladimir Putin. It sounded like a segment on Fox News. Bashing Obama. But this is I mean, this is being treated as serious, and I think what's worrisome, you know, to our caller and probably to you is this is start. You know, Jinder Mahal's getting over. I mean, I'm watching 205 live, and there's not, you know, and we mentioned that the Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton are the dark match, and there's not the line of people trying to leave the arena right now, which you occasionally see during 205 live. So there's evidently some interest in this, and some interest in seeing Randy Orton get his title back. I mean, that would be the main difference for me, and I guess it depends on how far they're willing to go to get Jinder over as this foreign menace.
Yeah, I think what Jinder Mahal is doing reminds me a little bit more of Bret Hart when he was a babyface in Canada and a heel in the United States. I think they're trying to play that up with the large group of fans in India, or who they hope become fans in India, and you know. Telling the fans you're booing me because of what I sound like and that I'm different than you, I'm not sure it's crossing a line because it comes across as a heel who's got a bad attitude and the fans just don't like him and he's coming up with excuses for why they don't like him. I'd prefer that if you have a wrestler from India and you're Vince McMahon, you don't automatically make their gimmick they're from India. You know, like, I mean, you know, 50 years ago, if you're Irish, that was going to be your gimmick. Well, heck, that's still the case now, to a degree. But you're Dutch or you're Polish. It's like, you know, you go back 50, 70 years, you know, everything was about where were you from? If you, you know, what country did you come from Eastern Europe? You know, who did your parents or grandparents grow up? Where did they grow up? And so it's kind of more of that. But to me, why can't you have a wrestler from India where his gimmick isn't all centered around being from India? Why can't he just be Nick Bockwinkel, Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, the snooty, rich, I'm better than you, everything that I have is perfect and fine and top shelf, and get heat for just being a snob. And you happen to be Indian. And there's just part of my heart that just wants to see a wrestling promoter take that approach with somebody who isn't Caucasian. It's like, if you're black, there's a certain, you know, it's like a list of three gimmicks you get. And if you're, I mean, all kinds of things. So that's kind of my inclination on this, but I think it's a story in progress. It's working in the sense that he's getting really good heel reactions in the building. So, I mean, I'll take Jinder Mahal as WWE SmackDown champion over more of Randy Orton doing what Randy was doing. It's created some buzz. He's paid dues for a long time, and I'm not blown away by anything he's done on the mic, including tonight, where he seems like he's fighting laryngitis or something still 3 weeks in a row. I hope that gets better, because that's going to hinder him if it doesn't. And I'm waiting for him to be really impressive in the ring. That said, I sort of think he hits the threshold of what you need to be in the ring and on the mic to be acceptable in this role, but I don't think it's guaranteed to work. But, you know, it might be more transitionary. It might be more of a transitionary move, too. So we'll see. Anyway, I'm late on my bottom of the hour break. We're going to go to another break. When we come back, more phone calls. 515-605-9345 is the number. We know you're a pro wrestling fan because you're listening to the PW Torch livecast. There's a good chance you're also a fan of the UFC and all of mixed martial arts. And if so, we hope you'll check out our sister website at MMATorch.com, covering the news of MMA every single day with breaking news, exclusive analysis, an array of columns, live event coverage, flashbacks, and so much more. Check it out. That's MMATorch.com or download the free MMA Torch app in the iPhone and Android app stores. That's MMATorch.com. All right, we're back. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Pro Wrestling Torch columnist Pat McNeil. You can hear Pat McNeil and Jim Valley on the Wayback Playback every Sunday afternoon. It's a new VIP show every Sunday afternoon featuring an hour of real-time commentary, information, and quips as they comment in real time on a full hour of a wrestling show or a, you know, usually a wrestling pay-per-view, but a Clash of Champions now and then or others otherwise. You can sync up on WWE Network or a DVD in your collection or something on YouTube, whatever it is. Maybe an old VHS tape. You can sync up their commentary to the show that they have selected to comment on that week. Or just listen on your own, in the car or at the gym or wherever you listen to podcasts. But it's kind of cool to sync it up and watch what they're watching and hear them comment on it. That's another VIP audio show that comes with a VIP membership on our VIP audio feed, which is compatible with iTunes and popular podcast apps on iPhone and Android. And this month, we just launched this Sunday night, was it? I guess Sunday night, two nights ago, we launched a new $1 sale. It's the first sale since January for of any kind for VIP. And you can take $9 off a $10 subscription. So your first month is just $1 if you use this coupon code. Go to pwtorch.com/govip and choose, and then enter, I should say, in the promo code box on the order form, dollar May. That's DOLLARMAY. Dollar May, all one word, no spaces, and you get $9 off. You can also, by the way, choose a 3-month or 1-year sub instead if you want to take $9 off either of those options. It'll further drive down the average price per month if you do that. All right, Pat McNeil is with me, longtime Torch columnist, and we're taking your calls. And up next is Tim in Philadelphia. Speaking of VIP members, Tim, thank you for your VIP membership.
No problem, Wade. Always a pleasure.
Excellent. What's on your mind tonight after SmackDown?
I want to touch on what you guys were talking about earlier with Nakamura. Going into Money in the Bank, I see two scenarios that pretty much write themselves as long as WWE is willing to pull the trigger on it. Number one, you're going to have Kevin Owens and Nakamura get involved in the match, costing each other the briefcase, leading into what will probably be a 5-star classic between the two of them at Battleground, which would be pretty cool since I'm going to be there, being a Philly show. Or the other scenario, which probably is going to be a bit more of a stretch, knowing how Vince is hesitant with new talent, is Nakamura gets the briefcase, wins the title, and builds up to the dream match of AJ and Nakamura for the belt at SummerSlam. Earlier in the year, when they were talking about the brand split draft, they said, we're not going to do the full draft after WrestleMania, just a superstar shakeup, leading to rumors that there was going to be another one post-Raw, post-SummerSlam. If they can get AJ versus Nakamura out of the way, that clears up AJ to move on to Raw and Nakamura to be the top babyface on SmackDown with the belt. What are your thoughts on either one of those scenarios?
Yeah, Pat, I promised listeners who didn't see the show, we'd tell them about that. Let me set the stage a little bit. Tim, indulge me on that, and then Pat, you can comment on Tim's scenarios. Shane McMahon came out at the top of the show and announced the 5 participants for the Money in the Bank match at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view next month: AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and in my report, I have Baron Corbin twice, so who am I missing? Shinsuke Nakamura. And then Shane asked production to kill the music when Kevin Owens came out. He goes, wait, Kevin Owens isn't, you're not supposed to be out here. You're not in this match. And then Owens kind of made his case and swayed Shane into adding him to the match. So Styles, Corbin, Zayn, Ziggler, and Shinsuke, and then Kevin Owens added as the 6th member. Pat, your thoughts on Tim's scenarios and perhaps your own?
What I had heard, and that hasn't changed, is that they're going to hold off on AJ Styles and Nakamura until New Orleans, until WrestleMania. Similar, and it'll be on the SmackDown side, similar to doing Lesnar and Reigns on the Raw side. So I mean, they could do it at SummerSlam. Whenever you do it, it would theoretically be a big match. I think you can have Owens and Styles feud for a while, and then Nakamura and Owens feud for a while. I think that makes perfect sense. I didn't even think about my pick is still Baron Corbin to win Money in the Bank, and he hangs on to it for a while until maybe a babyface gets a title back from Jinder Mahal.
Tim, let me put you back on here. Any thoughts on that possibility?
Yeah, that's exactly what I had, because as much as I would like to see it, Nakamura winning is definitely going to be a stretch. The match is going to give him enough spots to build up his already incredibly offensive maneuvers and get him over with the crowd, but it's going to be a little bit before they put the actual belt on him. I see that the ideal scenario being Kevin and Nakamura getting into it during that match,
Yeah.
And hopefully we're going to get that match at Battleground, because I saw it in New York at the Hammerstein Ballroom when they did it in Ring of Honor. It'd be nice to see round two happen here in Philly.
Pat, any shot that Sami Zayn or Dolph Ziggler win Money in the Bank as surprise underdogs who eventually cash in, but perhaps don't win when they cash in? I mean, that could be further Dolph Ziggler's frustration, or just, you know, kind of set up Sami as, oh, he came so close but came up just short.
I see a possibility of Sami Zayn winning. I see at this point no possibility of Dolph Ziggler winning again. And right now I'm being amused by the streak fight where Brian Kendrick went into the ring and got the purple duct tape for the ropes, and he's now taping, and now he's now using it as a weapon to try and duct tape Kira Tozawa.
Well,
fantastic stuff.
He has covered his mouth, so Tozawa is in a face lock, and he can't breathe through his mouth. He can only breathe through his nose as he's reaching for the bottom rope. So yes, that is that's a first.
Potentially dangerous. Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. Tim, anything else you want to talk about before we move on?
One quick follow-up. AJ Styles and Ty Dillinger. Who's going to have to give up the fireman's carry neckbreaker first?
Styles is not going to give up the move just because Dillinger is using it as his finisher, so neither one of them are going to have to give it up.
Yeah, I wonder if there will be a point where they suggest to Ty, since AJ uses it and it doesn't end his matches, maybe you want to come up with a finisher that actually isn't a transition or mid-match move, just for your own sake, Ty Dillinger. Yeah, we'll see. Mm. All right, Tim, appreciate it, and thanks again for your VIP membership. What's your favorite part of being VIP?
The fix, Todd Martin, hands down.
Excellent. Thank you.
Mm. Okay.
Appreciate it. All right, let's go to our next caller here, and let's go to Darrell in Georgia. Darrell, you're on the show. What's on your mind after SmackDown tonight?
How you doing today, Wade and okay. Pat? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hear you fine, Darrell.
Okay. Tonight, it was okay, SmackDown, with the main event, which they didn't have since they selling so much. Felt like the first time he should be selling a lot, maybe in a high-profile type of match, high-title match or something like that. But that's my opinion. Would love to hear what you guys think about that.
Pat?
Well, I mean, as far as WWE is concerned, this is a high-profile match. He's in a tag. He's teaming with AJ Styles again. It's the main event of SmackDown. He's teaming with AJ Styles against Kevin Owens and Dolph Ziggler. There's three, you know, former world champions in there with him. I mean, this is the part where I wish that Nakamura had several, you know, squash matches to sort of build up his repertoire, get the fans used to him.
Show off the Kinshasa kick and his style and all that. I think one of the things that's going to be a talking point this week is during Shane's announcement, Shinsuke standing there for the whole time, just kind of making, you know, body language and facial twitches and all that. And it's just, there's something about Shinsuke that works when his music's playing and then boom, the bell rings and it's go, 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 and it's have a match. And there's something that doesn't work with his shtick when he is actually just standing there and listening to other people talk, or people talk about him, at him, or even worse, just talk about other things. And there was a long stretch at the top of the show of that, and it doesn't work for me. And I think that, I mean, I'm not sure if you adjust to avoid that, because if you want him in the Money in the Bank ladder match, everybody's in the ring. You can't have him not in the ring. But I think you got to pick your spot. You just be as careful as they can, as often as they can, putting him, because he's such a unique talent, putting him in a position where that doesn't get overexposed or put in a context where it seems more weird than cool. And it's a fine line with Shinsuke, and it's not a project that Vince McMahon developed and cared for as it developed. So he's getting a finished product, but he hasn't read the manual on how to use it properly. And right now I think he's making some mistakes with Shinsuke, but he might be saying, hey, there's a way we do things around here. And, you know, he's not going to be our Roman Reigns. He's just going to be a good player in the mix, in the top mix on SmackDown. And he'll have to adjust to us. And there might be some things that aren't catering to what makes him positioned in the strongest way possible. But that's just the way it's going to be. You know, it's one of the trade-offs. We're not going to blow up the format of the show or how we do things just because of him. But I'm just not even sure that he's aware of Shinsuke or put thought into how to, you know, position Shinsuke differently than other people because he is a different kind of talent. Pat, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know exactly what they're thinking. For all we know, Wade, they're setting up for Nakamura and Shane McMahon at WrestleMania 34.
Why do you have to ruin the day? Why do you have to ruin things?
it's my gimmick. also, you know, I mean, I'm watching 205 Live, and Cedric Alexander is back from injury, and he got a squash match. I'm like, it's not like they don't know how to do this.
Yeah, but that's 205 Live with a captive audience, essentially. You know, I mean, they're like, people can fast forward, and we're not worried about TV ratings and commercial breaks and that kind of thing. And that's where they revert back to when wrestling TV shows were loss leaders to build up talent and sell tickets to house shows. And now it's different. You know, they're scared that if they do a squash match, people will tune out. And then they give you really long matches that are 50-50 even Steven with outcomes that people have learned don't really matter that much, and that hurts too.
Well, I mean, I'm watching the ratings lately, Wade. They should be scared that people are tuning out during their main events, not during the squash matches.
I know, and I think it makes them even more scared, and they just double down on the policy that is actually, you know, in some ways counterproductive to what their goal ultimately is. Okay, we'll go to our next break. When we come back, more phone calls let's see, who do we have on deck here? Mike from Boston, you are on deck. So when we come back, be prepared. You'll be live. If you're like me, you've got a list of your favorite podcasts that you listen to throughout the week and also your favorite websites that you listen to throughout the week, but they don't always overlap. But in the case of PW Torch, they do. We hope not only will you listen to the PW Torch livecast every day, but also visit pwtorch.com every day for the latest insider perspective, breaking news, TV reports, live event reports, live pay-per-view coverage, exclusive editorials, and a wide range of other features. Check it out every day. It's mobile-friendly, desktop and laptop-friendly. Stay up to the minute, stay up to date with pwtorch.com. All right, we're back. I'm Wade Keller, joined by Pat McNeil, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist. Tomorrow, Travis Bryant joins me for the midweek flagship edition of this PW Torch livecast. We'll take your calls and your emails if you're listening to us Tuesday night or Tuesday morning and can't call the show Wednesday afternoon, but do have some thoughts on our conversation over the last 3 days, Sunday night, Monday night, and Tuesday night here on the livecast, or have additional topics or questions you want to ask, send them in right now, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Last Thursday, former WWE creative team member Kevin Eck was my guest, one of our more popular guests on the livecast. We get great calls, great conversation every time he's on. We cover a wide range of topics, including his insights from working years behind the scenes in WWE. He follows the product closely now and also works as manager on the indie scene. And he was on once again for a really great conversation. We psychoanalyzed Randy Orton and got into the Roman Reigns push and all kinds of good stuff, some behind-the-scenes insights from him. So check that out if you missed it. It's absolutely worth your time. Pat McNeil is my guest co-host, and up next on the caller list is Mike from Boston. Mike, thanks for calling again. What's in your mind tonight?
Hey, Wade. Hey, Pat. It's really good to talk to you guys, as always.
Good to talk to you.
There's a couple of things. I thought the show overall was a solid B tonight. I thought it was a fun show. I thought it was a recovery from the week before, and I liked a couple of the little things and the little details that the creative team got right. I really liked Owens coming out at the beginning of the show and pointing out the hypocrisy of folks like Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler getting in the Money of the Bank match despite losing on pay-per-view the week before, despite the fact that they're heels and he should, you know, you'd think he'd be aligning with them. It's something that we talk about on the show a lot, and fans, you know, would follow and talk a lot. Like, why are the guys that are losing getting put in these, like, big money matches with a championship on the line? So I thought that was a really good small touch by Owens to point out the fact that, you know, hey, the guys that win should be the ones that are getting the Money in the Bank opportunity overall. I don't like Nakamura in this kind of match, partly because I don't like the way that these matches tend to go, where you have two guys fighting in the ring and four people laying outside of the ring for an ungodly amount of time.
There is
so
that, yeah.
You're just going to... So, and, you know, with the WWE, they're one of the more, I think, forward-thinking companies when it comes to finding ways to push technology and push ways to shoot things. I don't understand why they don't just have fans go to a second screen. Like, hey, if you want to see more, watch, you know, like we have the main action of the ring, and if there's stuff that's going on the peripheral, like, put it up on your iPad, put it up on your phone, like, log into, you know, this right now and be able to watch that. That would be a way, you know, there's a way they could shoot things or push things to kind of make these matches have a little bit more impact. But I kind of think that Nakamura is going to get lost in the shuffle in a match like Money in the Bank. And, you know, he's already in danger of getting lost in the shuffle. I tweeted this to you earlier, Wade, but, you know, like, Shinsuke Nakamura should not be selling like he's Ricky Morton.
Yeah.
That's not why people cheer for Nakamura. They cheer, and I think Jason from Australia pointed this out on the Raw show last night. He kind of circled back around it. You know, we wanted to watch Nakamura because he kicks a lot of ass. He beats the crap out of people, and it looks like it really hurts. And having a guy take 8 minutes of offense from Dolph Ziggler, just, it doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense. Like, all of a sudden, it really, it deflates a lot of the air in the balloon at that point. And, you know, I don't understand, I think I've said this before, but I don't understand why Vince would want to sign all of these guys that have a very unique calling card that makes them special, that makes them stand out, and then put them in the WWE blender and have, like, this really homogenized product where everyone feels the same. It doesn't make any sense.
Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah. The reason they hired these guys is, you know, in part because they think they might contribute to the brand. Also, in part, so no other wrestling company can use them. I mean, that is a lot of what is going on with big names, you know, being brought in, and especially with stacking NXT the way they do. It's not a developmental territory, really. It hasn't been for some time. I mean, they would much rather have Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, sit, you know, on SmackDown, not being used to his potential, than have Nakamura as part of the New Japan crew that's going to be doing going to be live on Access TV in July.
And I agree with your saying, Pat, about NXT not being a pure developmental brand at this point. That it definitely, it's become Hunter's baby, and perhaps it wasn't meant to become this, but it's become the kind of thing that a lot of the less casual fan, the more hardcore fan, watches for different reasons than they watch the main product. And if that's what it's meant to be, that's fine. But you have these guys that, when they're on NXT, they stand out, they're special. You're rooting for them. You're getting invested in their story for whatever reason. You know, you're invested in that character. And then they're brought up to the main roster, and it's all of what you kind of rooted for them in the first place that gets stripped away. So I'd rather see NXT just become, you know, a third brand all of its own, keep the Performance Center and develop guys at the Performance Center, bring them up to the main roster to maybe work some squash and jobber matches and kind of get a feel for, you know, what it's like on the big stage, but keep NXT as for what ECW could have been back in 2008, 2009, 2010, which it never became. But, you know, that third kind of lesser brand overall,
what,
but
Mike,
something
what,
for more of the hardcore.
Mike, what would you do different than what they're doing in that regard, though? Ready.
With Nakamura in particular?
With NXT being a third brand along the lines of ECW for hardcore fans, I think Triple H would contend that is what it is.
It absolutely is what it is, but they're still calling guys up from NXT and then putting them on the main roster. And then once they're on that main roster, they're not using them in the same capacity or telling maybe the same story be the wrong. You don't want to tell the same story twice. The sequel's never as good. But finding the things that about their character that made them either loved or hated by that NXT crowd, and then they're stripping that away, and they're making them just kind of like this really weird, almost like tapioca.
Yeah, Mike, I'm not against that, obviously. But what I'm trying to understand is, How would NXT be different? 97% of WWE's revenue comes from what they do with the main roster. So are you saying do something? Because you can't have top talent stay in NXT and never work WrestleMania, never be exposed to 3-4 million people a week on Raw and SmackDown and internationally on all the other distribution that is dominant for Raw and SmackDown compared to NXT. So are you saying keep guys who are over on NXT, but make NXT a Wednesday night show on USA Network? Like, what would
no,
realistically...
No, I understand, sure.
Yeah.
Realistically, when you're bringing guys... Realistically, guys are always going to want to come up to the main roster, and they should. You don't want a guy that's like... You wouldn't want to see, you know, like someone like Mike Trout staying in AAA for his whole career. That would be a waste of Mike Trout. However, you wouldn't call... When Mike Trout comes up to play in the big leagues, you don't turn him into a singles hitter and a hit-and-run guy.
I understand what you're saying, Mike. But here's the thing: I understand that if I'm Triple H, I want guys going up to the main roster because part of what Triple H is doing with NXT is turning it into something like a territory, and in a territory, guys left before they got stale. you think Bayley? How over do you think Bayley would be if she had spent another year on NXT?
Maybe I'll make myself clear here. I'm not saying keep guys down in NXT forever. I'm saying that once they come up from NXT to that main roster, don't strip them away of what made their characters so good and made them so relatable and what made you cheer for them in the first place. What you're doing right now is you have this a lot of unique talents that get blended into this one kind of voice. Like, everyone delivers the same style of promo. Can you imagine 1998 Steve Austin standing in the ring with five other people and standing there quietly waiting for his turn to speak and being spoken to? Yeah. He never would have gotten over.
No, that's a great point.
But it's not 1998 anymore. Vince doesn't want any one individual wrestler to be bigger than the company. He doesn't want another person succeeding on the level of The Rock or Steve Austin, because for one thing, then they'll leave.
Of course. I mean, they obviously, and that's a point that's been made many, many times, and I agree, like, that now the big thing is the WWE brand. More than anything else, you're not paying to see a star, perhaps, but you're paying to see the WWE. But if you're doing your job well, and you're doing your job correctly, then you should always have these stars that are ready to, when the next first person teams, whether it's injury, whether another opportunity, you have people that are ready to go underneath them. And the problem they have right now is they don't have anyone who would say, okay, Cena, you're coming to the tail end of your career. You've had a good run. You've had, but now you're a part-timer. We have, like, one, two, or three guys we can keep our eye on to be that next person. It doesn't, I guess you could say it's Roman Reigns, but he's getting rejected. So what you could have is this really great product that can appeal to a pretty wide array of fans for different reasons. If you don't like this part of the show, we have these other five other things that might appeal to you overall.
Mike, I want to jump in because I want to get another call in before our next break, and my time's a little limited tonight, and we got a lot of callers. So,
No problem.
We'll continue it another time when we see kind of how things develop here with Nakamura. Always great to hear from you, Mike. And let's go to Hayden in Kansas City next. Let's squeeze you in before our top of the hour break here. Go ahead, Hayden. What's on your mind?
Hi, Wade. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Good. First off, I wanted to do a little bit of a clarification. Actually, if you saw the the pre-show match between Ty Dillinger and Aiden English, I believe it was, he actually did use a variant version of the tiebreaker. There's a new version.
Oh, good.
Instead of him dropping him on his neck on the back, he kind of lifted him off, kind of like you do with a GTS, and just brought Aiden English's head down to his knee and in a seated position. It was like a GTS, but instead of lifting the knee, he kept the knee on the ground.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, that's great. Yeah.
Good idea.
Yeah. I just wanted to bring that up because seemed like... really, there's been a lot of talk about the Jinder Mahal situation, but I kind of wanted to talk about the tag team situation in SmackDown. I honestly don't know what they're going to do and honestly don't know where they're heading with this. The two singles matches tonight, it seemed like it was, goodness, I don't know. It just seemed like they're going absolutely nowhere with the Usos. The Usos seem to be spinning their wheels, even though they're the best team they got down there. And the Fashion Police? Yeah, they probably are going to be out of the tag team title picture for a little while, I think, but I don't know for sure. But otherwise, I'm not too sure on to like what they're going to do with some of the other tag teams in that division. Obviously, the New Day made their presence known, and they're going to be felt around the tag team division. But teams like the Ascension are obviously not going to go absolutely anywhere, from what the past has to tell for us. And honestly, they don't have the Vaudevillains anymore, so I'm just really curious as to how they're going to save this tag team division. It just seems to be spinning its wheels and going absolutely nowhere.
I think they're probably evaluating this week, the last few days, Pat, thinking they're onto something with Breezango and the Usos. I bet they're kind of thinking, going into Sunday, I don't know if they would have imagined they'd spend as much time on them on tonight's show.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I wasn't crazy about it, but yeah, tonight's tag match with those four was definitely better than Sunday's tag match, in my opinion. But that's the thing, SmackDown is not they're not placing a priority on the tag team division. And I suspect that, I suspect Breezango is a placeholder and will eventually get to New Day and the Usos, which I think they've done before, but they're waiting long enough for us to not remember that. And I think the Ascension's going somewhere, but I'm guessing it's going to be somewhere other than SmackDown.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Pat. We're going to go to our last break here and come back with some more calls. You're listening to the PW Torch Livecast. You can find our shows live and on demand at our homepage. Here's more on that. When you're looking to tune in live to the PW Torch Livecast, find out about the next episode, or just catch up on an episode you missed, go to our new website, pwtorchlivecast.com. You can select shows by specific day, specific host, and format, including a grid of our latest interviews and best of selections on the homepage. That is pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can stream our show live and listen to past shows on demand. That's pwtorchlivecast.com. Don't forget, our VIP sale is going on, pwtorch.com/govip, to get information on VIP membership, everything that comes with it. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Pat, one thing you can do when you're a VIP member is go back and read back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. In fact, before tonight's show, I went back and looked at the 15 years ago this week edition of SmackDown in Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter number 707. And 15 years ago, Triple H, in the opener, beat whom? His initials are LS. Does that help, Pat? And as Pat thinks about it, I'm going to turn his microphone on. Pat, I gave you time to think. Who do you think Triple H beat 15 years ago this week on SmackDown?
What were those initials again?
LS.
LS?
Yeah.
Oh, good grief.
L as in Lance.
LS. Oh, LS is Lance. Yeah, LS is Lance Storm, right?
Yep, Lance Storm. that jumped up.
How about that?
Absolutely. And then we also had Test beating Randy Orton with a roll of the dice finisher. Before the match, Stacy danced on the announce table and joined in on commentary. Mark Lloyd was an interviewer 15 years ago this week. He interviewed The Undertaker. Chris Jericho backstage offered to pay Farouk to protect him for the night since he was still sore from the Hell in a Cell match. Farouk refused, and then Jericho found out he'd be wrestling Mark Henry. And then Kurt Angle and Christian took on Edge and Maven, and Edge and Maven won that one when
Maven
rolled up Christian. Angle managed to escape the match while still wearing his toupee. Brother Devon with Deacon Batista beat Rikishi with Rico. Billy and Chuck watched the match from the entrance ramp. In the end, Rico hit Rikishi with one of the tag belts, which led to Devon scoring the pin. Chavo Guerrero Jr. watched footage of his cousin Eddie attacking Steve Austin. Gregory Helms interrupted and asked Chavo if he was the person leaving Hurricane, threatening notes. Helms then found beef jerky in a locker room, which was left as a clue for Hurricane on his search. Backstage, Lance Storm told Triple H he was lucky to beat him. Suddenly, Test appeared and gave Triple H the big boot. And then Hurricane beat Chavo Guerrero Jr. to retain the Cruiserweight title. That would be on 205 Live right now if it were 15 years ago. Backstage, Vince McMahon told Stacy he didn't mind if Test kissed her because he was elated that Hulk Hogan was going to retire. Jericho then entered Vince's office and complained about having to wrestle such a short time after the Hell in a Cell match. Vince pumped up Jericho for the match and said, "You can add your legacy by beating Mark Henry." And in the end, he did, but only by using a chair shot behind the referee's back. And then after that, Hulk Hogan walked out to the ring for his retirement promo. He said that he was born to a working-class family. He was about 20 when he decided to be a pro wrestler. He talked about the day his father died, claiming he showed no emotion other than when he watched Raw on SmackDown. Hogan claimed his father told him to get his career back on track and return to the WWF, where he belongs. Hogan started to thank the fans for backing him throughout his career, but then Vince interrupted him. And Vince said that because Hulk is under contract, he would sue him if he tried to retire. Hogan said, "Well, I will eventually retire, but not before kicking your ass." Hogan punched Vince to the mat. Undertaker ran out and attacked Hogan. Hogan came back by clotheslining Taker over the top rope. Taker and Vince walked up the stage. Vince could be heard saying that Hulkamania will die on his terms. Pat, what do those memories spark in you, going back to the May 23rd, 15 years ago this week, 2002 edition of SmackDown?
Yeah, that's back when I was over. Yeah. The Un-Americans, that was Lance Storm and Test and Christian Stable at the time. That was some interesting character development there.
Yeah, it's the turnover is a pretty astounding, but what's more interesting is who's still around on either Raw or SmackDown. You got Kurt Angle now as GM and Triple H as, you know, real life GM in essence of NXT and otherwise, and then still active on WrestleMania. Randy Orton active, Chris Jericho essentially active, but Edge and Christian retired. The Dudleys no longer in WWE. Hurricane semi-active in Impact Wrestling. And then Mark Henry sort of still on the roster. But yeah, I mean, and Undertaker, of course, and Vince McMahon involved in that show. So anyway, it's just a sample of some of the memories you can relive. And when you become a PW Torch VIP member, you can go back and read our not only what happened on the shows, but also some details in our analysis of it, going all the way back to the beginning of Raw and all the way back to the beginning of SmackDown. But back to 2017, we will go next to Denny in Toledo, Ohio. Denny, thanks for calling. What's on your mind tonight? Actually, I'm going to put you on hold until you can turn down the music, and we'll go to Kenny in Gallatin, Tennessee instead. Go ahead, Kenny. Background noise, no better. Kenny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Wade.
Oh, hold on. Too much background noise. We're going to go back to Denny. It's like whack-a-mole. I'm hoping for a caller without a ton of background noise. So, Denny, we're going to put you back live on the air here.
I'm still in the arena, Wade.
Oh, good. Yep.
Yay.
Just hoping you're to a spot a little less noisy for our listeners. What would you like to share with us?
I'm sorry about can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hopefully the music ends in a second.
Yeah, give us an update on what's happening there.
Orton just, they just had the DQ finish. The Singh brothers came in and attacked Orton when he was about to win. And then Orton hit them with the RKO to kind of send the crowd home happy. Yeah, so tonight was a fun show, though. The caller earlier that called and said that Dillinger hit a variation of the finisher was correct. He is doing a new version of it. The pre-show match was a 10-man tag match. That was a lot of fun. I was in the front row. I tweeted you earlier. They didn't make me change my PW Torch VIP shirt.
Did they notice?
But, not that I know of. Randy's signing autographs right now for kids. That's pretty cool. But yeah, no one said anything to me about it or anything. So I'm not sure if they just didn't notice or if they just didn't care. But yeah, I didn't get a free WWE shirt. So the announcers were coming out, JBL snubbed me on a handshake. But then when I booed him, he came down and shook my hand. The crowd was like really going crazy for the fashion police. Um, like the tag match I thought was awesome.
Would you say, Dan, that, or, excuse me, Denny, that Jinder Mahal seemed over at World Championship heel level?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
Is Jinder Mahal over at a world champion level, based on crowd response?
He certainly seemed over tonight. There was actually like a lot of like he actually had a pretty decent babyface reaction, I thought. The dancers and stuff that he had, I really enjoyed those guys, and he was actually getting some like a pretty decent babyface reaction too. But I mean there was definitely a lot of heel heat because like there was a lot of USA chants and stuff. So I thought that segment was actually pretty cool.
Very cool. Anything else you want to add from being there live? I know we're catching you right as the music.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I thought Nakamura was pretty over. I agree with what the caller said earlier. I think he was doing a bit too much selling. I thought they should have, got the heat on AJ and let Nakamura come in and clean house instead of the other way around. But, what can you do? But he did seem over. The crowd was singing along with his music, and which is kind of surprising because I never really thought of Toledo as much of a smart crowd, so I wasn't sure if they would be as familiar with Nakamura. Only having seen the one match on Backlash for the most part, for most of them. The opening match was a 10-man tag, the pre-show match. I mean, the American Alpha was in it, Luke Harper, Mojo Rawley, and Ty Dillinger against the Colognes, Aiden English, and I forgot who else, but they everyone there seemed like they had a pretty decent. Dillinger was really over, and a lot of people were chanting for Luke Harper. Luke Harper got the hot tag and cleaned house. So, but overall, man, I had a really fun show. This is my first time sitting front row at a SmackDown, so I'll definitely be doing that again.
You get any good pictures?
Cool. Oh yeah, I got a lot of really cool pictures. Got to slap hands with a few of my favorites, and this was my first time seeing Nakamura live, so that was a lot of cool. That was a lot of fun, man.
Drop me an email. We might be able to use some of the photos if you'll share them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, cool. Denny, thanks for sharing. If you think of anything if you think of any other observations, I can read them on the air tomorrow if you can't call us on the midweek flagship with Travis. So when things kind of settle down.
Absolutely. I'll try to get myself together.
Cool. No, it's always fun hearing people at the building. It adds an element to the show. So we appreciate you taking time to call us.
All right.
Cool.
No problem.
Yep, sounds great, Denny. Thanks. All right, we're losing Denny's connection there. Denny from Toledo at SmackDown. All right, let's try Kenny in Gallatin, Tennessee. Let's see if he's out of the laundromat that he was in earlier or something like that. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, Wade. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I hear you fine. What's on all your mind tonight?
All right, that's good. I'll just make it real quick because I know you're kind of running low on time. I noticed that one of the callers made a reference to the fact that the champion or that the attendance to the show was not that well filled and it wasn't really a sellout. My question is, how much of the blame would Jinder Mahal get if he can't fill up the TV events and the house shows? Do you feel like that if he doesn't do it as far as bringing people in with him as WWE champion, do you think we'll get a real short reign? And I can take my answer off the air and thanks for taking my call, and you have a good night, Pat.
Excellent. Thanks, Kenny. Okay. Pat, what do you think?
Well, we've already had I think we talked about Sunday night, we already had the WWE title change hands, seven times in less than a year. So I'm not expecting Jinder to hold the title till WrestleMania. Let's just put it that way. I mean, it's not that they'll blame him if the attendance goes down or the ratings go down. They'll just, but they will probably switch the belt to somebody else.
And I think we're in an era where they're not looking at the champion as the reason that they draw or don't draw, as the sole metric or the sole determinant. I mean,
right.
there's other factors that go into why Jinder Mahal is champion. I mean, they want to get attention in India and get the WWE brand over there and get mainstream publicity to, you know, pave the way for them to enter that market at a higher level. There's a lot, and Jinder Mahal talks about the 1.4 billion people that are potential WWE fans who, you know, if they can get a tiny slice of them to be WWE Network subscribers, if it becomes accessible there, that would make them very happy in WWE. And so, I mean, other factors play into it. And I think they think that people come to see the brand more than an individual wrestler or an actual title match. It's a different business in that respect than it once was. I mean, there was a time where many territories were largely built around, you know, four guys who drew. One of them was a world champion, and, you know, a couple of them would rotate as challengers, and they'd bring heels in or baby faces in from the outside to challenge them, and they'd spend some time and then move on to their territory when they failed to win the title. But the champion is what drew. And, I mean, this is, you know, Bruno Sammartino, a great example of that, where if Bruno wasn't on the show, it drew a lot different than if he was. Hulk Hogan, show drew a lot different than if he was or wasn't. Same with Ric Flair during his prime. So, I mean, that's not where we are now. You know, I don't think WWE can look at a show other than John Cena at his peak, or, you know, they might say now Roman Reigns is making somewhat of a difference if he's advertised or not. But Pat, I mean, it is a different business. You've watched it long enough to see that happen. Do you think there's that in particular this time, this era that we're in, is less weight is put on the shoulders of the champion to be a draw than ever, and that they really consider it an ensemble and brand-based attraction?
Yeah, that's a fair statement. And, I mean, we've even seen times in like the past decade where, you know, the champion was treated more as he wasn't treated as the main person on that particular brand. And yeah, that was never the case, you know, back in the territory days.
Yep, absolutely. I want to thank Barry and Tony and James and that's Barry just signed up, and Antonio and James and Tony for signing up since we've been on the air and becoming VIP members.
Oh,
you
cool.
Can too. pwtorch.com/goVIP. And I think they each took the $1 option to try us for 1 month. So appreciate, yeah, all three of you. So you spent a grand total of $4 since we've been on the air, and we hope that you love the service and will become regular subscribers going forward. And we hope that those of you listening to us here will do the same. There's so much that comes with the VIP membership. I could take an hour, and it still wouldn't cover all of it. There is an unmatched library of archives of both audio and back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, columns galore, Torch Talk interviews before wrestlers hosted and were interviewed by podcasts, the only long-form interviews or interviews, period, that were being done by wrestlers talking about the inner workings of the wrestling industry were Torch Talks. And this includes feature-length interviews with Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Steve Austin, Jesse Ventura, all the way back to one of the first ones
Mick
I ever
Foley.
Did. Vern Gagne. What's that, Pat?
Mick Foley,
Paul Heyman, Jim Cornette. If they were a big name in this business, there's a very good chance that they were sat down for a very long Torch Talk with me. Heck, a multitude of WCW vice presidents over the years, including Jim Herd, which was a big get back when he first was WCW VP, Kip Fry, Bill Watts, Eric Bischoff, shortly after he took over WCW, did a Torch Talk. And then I think it was back in about 2000, God, the years kind of blend. I think about 2008, maybe, Eric and I sat down and did about a five-hour in-depth Torch Talk reflecting on what happened in WCW. And it's still, I'm real proud of how that interview went. It was a little tension and contentious. Eric and I go way back. We're both from the Minnesota area, and we crossed paths when he was getting a start in the AWA, and I was shooting photos for the Torch and various international magazines. And but we had a really good conversation, and I think we both were surprised at how well it went. And so you can just dive into the archives of the transcribed Torch Talk interviews in the back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter. I mean, you can spend a whole summer just catching up on those. So yeah, I mean, there's just so many things that are cool about a VIP membership. If you do sign up, I encourage everybody to go to pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips. That's pwtorchvip.com/VIP tips. You'll need your VIP password to get to that page, but that'll give you an orientation to everything that comes with a VIP membership, all the new stuff, and also a good overview of how to get to our archives, including some top secret deep state archives, going back to our original VIP site with some cool features that are a little hard to find, a little bit of a Easter egg treasure hunt for a couple years there of our very early stuff. But it's a fun journey. You can lose yourself in the archives. Plus, you get ad-free access to this show, ad-free access to the PW Torch website. There's actually a separate website for VIP members that mirrors pwtorch.com called pwtorchvip.com. It's ad-free. It looks great on smartphones. It's a fantastic experience on smartphones. We've got a link, a special link that takes you to a virtual mobile app that is really nice without the ads. I know some people aren't thrilled with ads that pop up that you got to wait to play or close when you're going to free websites, the Torch and otherwise. And VIP members can get everything that's on pwtorch.com, live pay-per-view coverage and all the special articles and news and ringside beat reports from around the world without ads. So that's another benefit. And it's also an ad-free desktop site. I could go on, but I won't. I'll just tell you, go to pwtorch.com/govip. And check out all the details. We've got testimonials there, too, from VIP members who just swear by the service and love what we provide. Even with all the free stuff that's out there, podcasts and websites, there is another layer. There's another level to pro wrestling coverage. And I think you have to experience it to kind of fully get what we're doing. So go check it out at pwtorch.com/govip. The coupon code is $MAY. $MAY. DOLLARMAY. Dollar May. Spell it out. One word, no space. And you get $9 off your first month subscription. There's no further obligation beyond that. You can cancel anytime. Pat, it's always a pleasure talking with you on the livecast. Appreciate your contributions and input on today's show.
Well, thank you, Wade. And it's always good to talk to you people. And we will do it again probably next week. Have a great Memorial Day.
Excellent. Yes, happy Memorial Day to everybody. And keep checking out pwtorch.com. If you're not a VIP member, pwtorchvip.com. If you are, I'll be by tomorrow with Travis. And we'll have interview Thursday and the post-impact show and primetime Friday with Bruce and Rich coming up. So still a lot more to come this week. But if you want to hear more of me talking about Raw or more of Pat and Greg Parks talking about Backlash on Sunday night, they're right on underneath this show on your podcast feed on your smartphone. Follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller. Follow our brand at PW Torch. Follow our sister brand at MMA Torch. And be sure to check out our newly relaunched PWPodcasts.com with in-depth, fascinating recaps and summaries of wrestling personality-hosted podcasts. If you haven't been there in the last couple days, a lot of cool content, including Chris Jericho's interview with Jinder Mahal. Also, the latest We Watch Wrestling with Matt McCarthy, responding to Randy Orton's tweets on the indie scene. Matt McCarthy, a big fan of PWG. I'm real curious to see what he had to say about Randy Orton. Matt McCarthy, ex-creative team member, professional stand-up comedian, huge wrestling fan, and friend of the live cast, hosts his own weekly show called We Watch Wrestling. Matt gives insight into how writers handle injured wrestlers and much more. So we got a written summary of that, along with a link to listen to the show. As I said, we got a detailed recap of Jinder Mahal on Talk is Jericho, the latest Tony Schiavone podcast, a summary of what he had to say about Fall Brawl 97, Kurt Hennig's turn, Arn Anderson's stories, and a crazy Steiner Brothers rib. Also, Edge and Christian with a Pot of Awesomeness talk about terrible gimmicks, a bizarre role Christian was going to play, and Tommy Dreamer's Tales from the Indies. Also, a recap of Cheap Heat talking about Jinder's big day, the charisma of Bret Hart and Sami Zayn, and is Randy Orton lazy? The Cheap Heat crew addresses that. Also, Coke Cabana's Art of Wrestling with D'Lo Brown, Jeremy Borash, Conan, Blue Meanie, and Jack Evans. And the latest Steve Austin Unleashed with Ted Fowler talking about UFC 211, actual rattlesnakes, and why Steve was angry over a deer. The latest X-Pac 12360 episode. Also, MLW Radio talking about Orton versus Twitter versus indie wrestlers. And the latest Sam Roberts podcast with Kathy Kelly. And the latest Eric Bischoff podcast with John Morrison, and so much more. So those are just the podcast recaps. We also pull quotes from wrestler interviews. Goldust had something to say about Jinder Mahal's title win. Jinder Mahal had something to say about his title win. Ed Nordholm from Impact Wrestling, the president, had something to say about the Broken Universe and the legal battle there. So if there's a compelling quote uttered by a wrestler on a podcast, we've got it covered on the left column in the news column and on the right side if you're looking for a recap of a wrestling host, wrestling personality hosted podcast, it's very likely there. You can decide what you're going to listen to next by going there, or just catch up without listening on the highlights of shows you won't get a chance to listen to. If you're interested in contributing to pwpodcasts.com, I encourage you to email me, kellerwade@gmail.com. That's kellerwade@gmail.com. And let me know that you're interested in helping out. There might be a podcast that we aren't covering yet that you listen to or are willing to listen to, and send us recaps. Or you might just want to be a backup for a time when a correspondent drops off or is unable to cover a show. So we're always looking for volunteers to help make the site as great as it can be. You can email me at kellerwade@gmail.com. Thanks again, everybody. Sorry to the callers we didn't get to. We had a lot more callers than I anticipated tonight. But that's always a good thing. So thanks to those who we got to. Sorry to those we didn't. You can email me a topic or question for tomorrow's show, or call tomorrow, 1 Eastern, with Travis Bryant from EastCoastCast.com and also Pro Wrestling Torch columnist. That will do it for me for today. Coupon code over at pwtorch.com/govip is $MAY. So take advantage of that while you can. It's a great deal. And it's our first sale since we launched one in January. So you want to take advantage of it. Don't regret it. And we just got a new subscriber. Let's see. Just got the email here. Comes in from Jose. Thank you, Jose. Another $1 in the register. Enjoy your 1 month of service. And thanks for signing up just now while I've been closing out the show. That'll do it for me. Here's some more information on another perk of VIP membership, which is our retro vintage radio shows. This is another thing you won't find anywhere else. It's one of the great things about VIP membership is just the diverse, wide array of weekly features. The retro radio shows are one of them. Every Thursday night, a new vintage 1990s retro radio show goes up, and here are details on that. As a PW Torch Livecast listener, you've probably heard me talk about PW Torch VIP membership. One of the great perks about becoming a PW Torch VIP member at pwtorch.com/govip is access to vintage radio shows that are only available with a PW Torch VIP membership. The entire run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show that I hosted on KFAN in the early 1990s, over 100 episodes, available when you sign up instantly. Also, on an ongoing basis, we're adding more Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio shows hosted by John Arezzi in New York, which ran from the late 80s through the mid-1990s. These shows have not been heard since they aired originally on New York radio, and VIP members have access to listen to them exclusively as part of their VIP membership. Also, Total Chaos Radio, hosted by PW Torch Livecast Saturday Morning Wrestling host Jim Valley during the Attitude Era, are also part of a VIP membership, new ones added on a regular basis. These vintage classic radio shows with big-name interviews, guest analysts, including me, on a regular basis talking about the news of the day with the hosts, are accessible when you become a VIP member through our ad-free VIP website. You can stream them right on your phone or right on your computer, but also an RSS feed that is accessible only for VIP members via popular apps on iPhone, Android, and even iTunes. Check it out. It's a big perk that comes with a VIP membership. Get details at pwtorch.com/govip. That's pwtorch.com/govip. Have a blast listening to familiar voices from this live cast talk about wrestling from the 1990s through the Attitude Era exclusively as a PW Torch VIP member. Dollar May, Dollar May, Dollar May. It's $1 in May to go VIP. The days are counting down. Take advantage of it now. And you'll have tons of retro radio shows that you can download right away. Well over 100 when you sign up, in a new one every Thursday night. So that's a really cool feature too. pwtorch.com/govip. Dollar May is the coupon code to take advantage of our sale. Thanks again to Pat McNeil, our callers, and until tomorrow when Travis Bryant joins me on the PW Torch livecast. This is Wade Keller thanking all of you for your support, encouraging you to check out pwtorch.com and mmatorch.com. And until tomorrow, in fact, just over 14 hours from now, actually less than that, just over 13 and a half hours from now, Wade Keller signing off. This is live.